Here we come, walk down the street, we get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to, do what we like to do. The only time to get restless, there's always something new.
All right, good evening. It is March 19th, 2007. My name is Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Here, let me turn that down just a little bit. Tonight, the Dana Pretzer Show. Art Wood, former Secret Service agent, private investigator. He'll join me. It's been a while since we've had Art on the show to talk about the Natalie Holloway investigation. After that, Arthur Alley, he launched the Timothy Plan in 1994. Ever wonder what big corporations like Ford do with their money? Does it go back to the people who invest in Ford, or does it sponsor special interest groups that maybe you and I don't approve of? So Arthur Alley will be here to talk about the Timothy Plan. And after that, we'll continue on with our series of segments of parents who have had their children abducted and taken to Japan. Tonight, Yamila Castanello, whose Japanese husband kidnapped her two-year-old daughter from Cuba to Japan in 2003, will join me to talk about her case. Her husband has committed all kinds of fraud, including remarrying in Japan while he was still married to Yamila. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Glad to have you. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. It's been a while since I've had this gentleman on, law enforcement, Secret Service, retired, private investigator, someone who has been committed to helping the Holloway family find their daughter, Natalie, and a board member of the new Natalie Holloway Foundation, Art Wood. Art, nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Dana. Happy to be here.
Tell us about the foundation.
Well, Dave, let's face it, when Dave arrived in Aruba, he was met with all kind of problems. There wasn't any mechanism in place to help pay the cost of his travel, his making up flyers, searching for Natalie, he couldn't afford to hire an investigator, all kind of things.
And right.
Basically, you know, when you travel overseas, and this is something that your listeners need to understand, anybody, including Canadians, once they step off of their home soil, they are at the mercy of the politics, personalities, and laws of the country where they visit.
Right.
And the Natalie Holloway Foundation was established by Dave to assist in helping loved ones recover missing family members. And basically, the mission statement is real simple. It's provide the immediate family of U.S. citizens with informational and financial assistance to locate and recover missing family members designated as endangered or at risk by law enforcement in foreign countries. The Holloway Foundation, Natalie Holloway Foundation, provides financial assistance to help defer the cost of travel, advertisements, and flyers, investigative expenses, and any other justifiable expense related to the search and recovery of a qualified individual. And that's what basically the foundation is. It also supports the educational awareness programs for adults and children to aid in the prevention of kidnappings and abductions. That's pretty much where I come in. I've been trying to help Dave with the educational part. We just gave a seminar down in Punta Gorda, Florida last week, last weekend, and I think it went well. I've done some research with the State Department, and basically I want the listeners to understand that you can go to the U.S. State Department, go to the U.S. State Department website. I don't exactly have the phone number for this information in front of me,
right,
but I can tell you this. If you go to American Citizens Services, that's American Citizens Services, on your computer, U.S. Department of State / American Citizens Services, you'll be able to get a phone number where you can request fact sheets for any country in the world. This would be very important if you were going to travel abroad to know if there's any warnings or advisories regarding that country. It also will give you facts concerning their laws. Believe it or not, Dana, 6,000 Americans were arrested in foreign countries last year.
Wow.
2,500 Americans died in foreign countries. I have no idea how many are missing in foreign countries, but it's a major problem.
Oh, you bet. Let's rewind the clock. Last time I had you on the show till now, there's been a ton of information that has been reported in the media regarding the case. Sadly, none of it to bring Natalie home to her family or bring those responsible for her disappearance and apparent death to justice. However,
right,
there's been every kind of spin imaginable in this case. We've lost some good people like Jamie Skeeters. We've heard about civil lawsuits. We've all kinds of craziness you can imagine. I've had Dave Holloway and Beth both on my program several times. I can't imagine the heartache that they're going through. These people just need an answer or two to help give them, and you hate to use that term closure, but to help give them some satisfaction, I guess, to know that their daughter is at peace. Art, I know you've helped. You've done everything you can, and you still can, and it amazes me how much you people are helping others. What more could the State Department of the United States or state departments of other countries do to help? Posting something is fine, but what you folks and the Holloways and the Twitties went through in Aruba is just mind-boggling.
Well, you know what? I watched as both Dave and Beth, you know, it broke their heart. I mean, they have broken hearts, and believe it or not, it broke my heart. And but nothing like it was my child, you know?
Right.
As far as what we could do with the State Department, as far as the Natalie Holloway case, there's still a chance that the State Department could pressure Holland into conducting an appropriate investigation. That's where this case still has a chance, Dana. The Arubans have not conducted a professional investigation in this case.
Yeah, that's true.
They have allowed one or two individuals to maintain a cover-up, and I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that that Dennis Jacobs is involved in a cover-up in this case. I think that if you look at the facts and you look at the statements, as the lead investigator in the Natalie Holloway case, you know, there's so many investigators have come and gone in this case, and he still remains constant, and he still has continued to protect this Dutch prince, Göran Vandersloot, and these boys. They know what happened to Natalie. There's a lot of people involved in the cover-up, and if the Dutch would force the Arubans to conduct a proper investigation, we could solve this case. I can prove a cover-up in Aruba. I guarantee you I can. It started on May 31st when Beth Twitty and Jug Twitty and the FBI and the Aruban police and the Excelsior, the Holiday Inn security people, mm-hmm. viewed those surveillance tapes of that front entrance and realized that the boys were lying. The police knew on May the 31st that those boys were lying, that they didn't drop Natalie off where they showed them. On that day, on May the 31st, they knew that Yuron, Deepak, and Satish showed them the exact spot where Natalie supposedly fell when she got out of that car, what was covered by three cameras. They checked the film. All of those people checked the film, and it wasn't there. And when they said a security guard helped her up, with black pants and a black shirt and a walkie-talkie, they knew it was a lie. Yet what did they do? They arrested two security guards 5 days later. That's where the cover-up started. That proves there was a cover-up. There's no question about it.
Collusion has been used. Incompetence has been used. Cover-up has been used. These boys continue to flaunt themselves, for lack of a better term. They're mouthpieces, their lawyers threaten civil suit, but really, all in all, Art, the bottom line is the Dutch haven't done enough for this family to...
They haven't stepped up to their plate, Danny.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And the U.S. government, the U.S. State Department hasn't stepped up to their plate to put the pressure on the Dutch. And, you know, we've been promising, Dave and I have been promising, that we need to... try to get the troops pulled together to summon the pressure to put on our State Department to force the Dutch to do the right thing. What's holding us back is that we can't use rumors, innuendo, suspicion. We have to come up with the facts.
Right.
The facts of that, like I just told you, the facts about what happened on May the 31st, the facts of what Dennis Jacobs did on certain dates, and what we know from having meetings with the former assistant prosecutor in this case that people aren't even aware of. And you were talking about some new information that just came out in the last few months from Aruba, where the investigator from Holland that claims that that a high-ranking Justice Department official pulled strings to make sure that Paulus Vanderslot's house wasn't searched.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that we need to put in there, and you know, the only way we're gonna get an honest investigation over there is to threaten a boycott, or threaten that economic sanctions, or somehow force the U.S. government. As I told you on this show before, if they would allow the FBI to participate in this investigation, the case would have been solved. And it still could be.
That was my next question.
Cuban police have resisted every attempt for us to bring the FBI in.
That was my next question, Art. If you or someone else, myself, whoever, were to go to Aruba today, where would you start with this investigation? I think I know your answer, but I want you to tell the listeners.
Well, you know, first of all, there's nowhere for a private investigator to start.
Right.
If the FBI were allowed access to this case, they would start with the entire case file and try to trace where the evidence went. You know, we were led to believe, I mean, early on in this case, second week of June, that the case had been broken, that these kids were going to lead the authorities to the body. I believe that could well may have happened. I don't know if they led them to a body, but I mean, I think that they had confessed, to somewhat, some extent, and the right people were in power to put a stop to it. That wouldn't happen if we had FBI involvement in this case. The evidence would have been looked at professionally. We have some new tips, new leads coming out of Aruba that points to the fact that maybe the evidence was tampered with and switched. Well, you know, you and I have thought that for a long time.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I had the Kelpo brothers lawyer, David Koch, on the show a few months back, and I asked him a question very directly. if there was an opportunity for one of the brothers to become a witness rather than a suspect, this happens in criminal investigations sometime, would that be a consideration of his? He wouldn't answer my question, but then again, he wouldn't say no. When you have three people who are still very strong suspects, sometimes getting one to turn on the other helps a lot. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, there's no question that that Euron turned on the brothers. He turned on the brothers. You know, he's pointing the finger at Deepak and Satish. Euron Vandersloot told the police in one statement that he believes that Deepak raped and killed Natalie and buried her in the sand. Those brothers were very upset about that. We have the transcript of the secretly recorded conversation between the three of them, and we know that they weren't happy with each other. And we also know that they're not getting along now.
No,
Euron was on a separate radio program in Aruba, and he kind of accused the brothers of this. The only thing that's really gone against us with these two brothers is the fact that somehow one of them is involved in something and the other one's protecting him. Otherwise, I think they would have turned. One of them would have turned on Vandersloot.
But isn't this something that is incumbent on the, well, there's a lot of things that are incumbent on the investigators and the prosecutors over there to see something like this, and if they want a successful conclusion to this case, they should be all over that like a bird on a bug. Like, start getting these kids working against each other. Vandersloot has lied so many times, I wish I had a buck for each time he's lied. I wouldn't have to work. But there's time. There's still time to do something with this, Art.
Well, there's a possibility. I'm not going to begin to suggest that the case is going to be easily solved. It's not. I mean, every day that goes by makes it more difficult.
Right.
But there is a lot of people that know what happened. And if somebody talks, the possibility is that we could get justice for Natalie. And that's what we want. I mean, there's no question. You know, these people have threatened these civil suits and all this crap, Dana. But let me tell you something. There's more evidence in this case to convict these three kids than there ever was in the Scott Peterson case.
Exactly.
I mean, they drove off with Natalie in their car, and she didn't come back. You know.
Right.
And then they got caught in a bold-faced lie of saying they dropped her off at the hotel.
Yeah. No, it's beyond me. Our time's starting to run out a little bit, Art. I want to get your comments on the media coverage. It's slowed down. In fact, it's almost stopped now. Keeping any story alive, I try to do it the best I can here on my program. In the media, for the people to understand, to know, all you need is one tip, one person to hear something and decide to come forward. Has the media dropped the ball on this one? They seem to spend more time now on Anna Nicole Smith than they do trying to help families who are trying to find missing loved ones.
Well, I don't think the media dropped the ball. I think the media has been 100% an ally in the search for Natalie. The fact is, the case is, it's 2 years old.
Yeah.
Coming up on 2 years old, and it's hard to keep the case alive as far as the general public's concerned. But hey, there's people that might be listening to your show that have been to Aruba, or there might be an Aruban listening that knows something. I'll be happy to entertain a phone call from any of those people. I'm not hard to find, I still want to solve this case.
What's next for the family and for the foundation?
Well, the foundation, we have to get off the ground. It's totally a nonprofit charity. So we have to solicit some support from the general public. One of the things that we're looking at is offering just for a nominal contribution to the Natalie Holloway Foundation a copy of Dave's book Aruba. I can't offer that yet because he would have to clear that with his publisher and everything, and we'd have to put it on a PDF file and people could just download it.
Right.
But I think that's a good idea, something that we're looking at. as far as the family goes, you know, Tim Miller from EquiSearch is talking about doing another search in Aruba soon.
Yes, yes.
Jossie Mansour is still working on the case. Jossie calls me all the time.
Yep.
And we share information. Quite frankly, I believe the most important thing that came out of that Dutch investigator's report was the fact that he named a Justice Department official who inhibited the search warrant that was issued for Vandersloot's residence.
Yep.
That's just a perfect example. I mean, that tells you that the power that this judge had, the power that this Paulus Vandersloot had in protecting his son. So it all goes to what we believe. And the Aruban people, there's somebody there that knows that if they want to talk, we will certainly talk to them.
Well, we'll have you back again, Art, real soon. Art Wood, former Secret Service agent, private investigator, board member of the Natalie Holloway Foundation, and someone committed, like the rest of us, to helping find Natalie. Thanks a lot, Art.
Thanks, Dana.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back with Arthur Alley.
People see us everywhere. They think you really care. But myself I can't deceive. I know it's only come true. My one and only you. No one will ever know how much I love you so. My only prayer will be that someday you'll care for me, but it's only make believe. My hopes, my dreams come true. Did for you, my heart, the wedding ring, my all, my everything, my heart I can't control. You rule my very soul. My only prayer will be someday you care for me, but it's only make believe.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Do corporations like Ford put homosexuality over shareholder profits? Arthur Alley, who launched the Timothy Plan in 1994, is the founder and the president of that company, the nation's leading biblical-based pro-life, pro-family mutual fund group. The Timothy Plan utilizes stringent moral screening criteria designed to avoid investing shareholders' money into any company that has a pattern of contributing to the culture of pollution of society. I like that, pollution of society. I think that's very well said. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Let's talk about the Timothy Plan, and then we'll get into Ford and the rest of it here in a few minutes. I just very probably just touched the edges. Tell us more about it.
Well, actually, you said it very well. Back in 1994, we kind of drew a line in the sand and said, you know what, there are publicly traded companies that are funding the disintegration of our culture, and pro-life, pro-family investors are investing money in those corporations without having one clue as to what they're doing. So that gave birth to a mutual fund family. Started out as one fund 13 years ago, and we've grown to 12. We're about to add two more in May. And a diversified mutual fund family that will not own companies that are involved in abortion, pornography, active promotion of the homosexual agenda, or the production of alcohol, tobacco, or casino gambling. We're a mutual fund in every other way, but this really does make us a niche fund. because we're serious about our screens.
When you turn on the television, when you open the newspaper or look at the internet, you see the cultural pollution of society, sadly. I was just talking to an investigator who was trying to help the Holloway family find Natalie Holloway, who's been missing for 2 years. Yet all we've seen on the news here lately is the story of a tragedy in its own right, but I'm not sure how much airtime it deserves, the Anna Nicole Smith story. Having something like your Timothy plan is something that most people will sit back and say, you know, that's fantastic, but it seems like culture, that pollution of culture, if I can keep using that term, is there. What are companies like Ford doing? You still with
You're
me?
You're fading a little bit. I'm having a little trouble hearing.
You okay? You can't hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
You can hear me now? Did you hear what I said before?
Something about Ford.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's another thing. The big phone companies, they got to get phones that work better. We talk about the cultural pollution of society, Arthur. Anytime you turn on the television, you look at the internet or open a newspaper, there's a huge example of the cultural pollution of society. There are people that are missing. There are better things to do with the news coverage, but we've seen nothing but nonstop Anna Nicole Smith coverage. That's one cultural pollution, in my opinion. What are companies like Ford doing to pollute culture?
Well, Ford is one of many, many. We just did do a press release. Ford has come under a lot of heat from pro-life, pro-family ministries. And in fact, I believe there's nearly 1 million people now that signed American Family Association's boycott of Ford products because of their active promotion of the homosexual agenda. And I just found it incredible from a business perspective how a major corporation could cave in or support or promote what really is a fringe part of our society numerically and offend the bulk of the people who make up their marketplace. And yet Ford has thumbed their nose at these people and continued to actively support the homosexual agenda. That was incredible to me, and that's what prompted our press release.
Is there...
We have had Ford on our screen list. I mean, we cannot own Ford. This is not something new. They've been doing it for some time, but the boycott is a relatively new thing, and it doesn't seem to impact this company who's losing billions and billions and billions of dollars because their sales are down.
John and
they just don't get it, or maybe they do, and maybe I don't get it.
Well, their sales are down, that's for sure, but John and Mary Public that are listening to this interview right now or looking at your press release will say, why is Ford doing this?
Well, that I don't have an answer for. That's what I found to be incredible.
Yeah.
Other than they are pursuing some agenda, it comes from the top, and for some reason they have chosen, even when confronted with the issue, to continue to support that agenda. Now, you know, Timothy Plan is, we are a biblically based mutual fund family. We understand there's an unrighteous out there. But there is a distinct difference between corporations that are passively unrighteous and those that are pursuing an unholy agenda. On the homosexual issue, for example, we do not screen out companies that offer same-sex health benefits. You know, I think it's a dumb economic decision. But if you're a corporation, you're run by people, and you employ, you know, 100,000 people, and you offer health benefits to your employees, if some of them happen to be homosexuals, you wouldn't see that that would be a problem because they happen to be your employees. So we don't screen out for that. We're not sitting here trying to take pot shots at any corporation. But when that goes beyond that, when they start sponsoring homosexual events, when they start jamming sensitivity training down the throats of their management personnel, when they advertise and do their promotions and support the homosexual agenda in that way, That's where we draw the line, and that's where we refuse to own that company.
If you're just joining us, Arthur Alley is here, and we're talking about the Timothy Plan. Let's talk about some companies that are righteous.
Well, there's none righteous, Dana. Scripture is clear on that. There's none righteous, and companies are run by people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there's any company that operates in what people would consider to be a righteous manner. But most companies are passively unrighteous, and they're trying to do the right thing and trying to operate within whatever framework their products happen to fall. But there are a number of companies that are really funding the evil side of life. And those are the ones that our research tells us we will not own. We don't care how good they look economically. And ultimately, they're not all that good.
Speaking of the evil side of life, we're in a war on terror, have been for a while now, and it's continuing. Some of these stocks are funding terrorism, are they not?
Yeah, that is true, and we're working on that to try to get our hands around it, because the challenge for Timothy Plan is to take something that's very subjective and make it as objective as possible. But you're absolutely right. We do not have our hands fully around that yet as to having definitive screens on that. But there are certainly companies that are funding terrorist regimes and the like. But there are other companies operating in what we would consider terrorist countries that are not supporting the regimes. They're employing people, and, you know, it's a very difficult subject, but that's one that we're working on right now.
Let's talk about the media a little bit, Arthur, while I still have you on the air here for about 10 minutes, and how the media is promoting this cultural pollution. Some of the big networks, right down to the left-wing agenda, some broadcasters and anchors, that must fit into this somehow.
Well, it's very difficult for us to own any entertainment company. The mainstream media is a whole other issue. I mean, their agenda is so clear. They're in a previous day, what they're up to would be termed treason. Back when we used to have some semblance of real values in this nation. But there's no question they're undermining the very fabric of the what used to be a patriotic, proud to be an American. But from involvement in the abortion, the pornography, the screens we've defined, the major media, most of them probably violate in one way or another some of our screens. It's very difficult. We do not own any of the media companies in any of our portfolios.
How important is the 2008 election to all of this? When you look at the candidates that are out there right now, and the fundamental ideology that you talk about with the funds and the corporations, I don't see any that are along the same lines, at least that's my opinion.
Well, you know, sadly, there really isn't too much of a difference between Republicans and Democrats today. It's all about power. It's all about doing whatever you think you have to do to get elected and to stay, get into power and then remain there. And it's all about go along to get along. Something happens. The good people, when they get up in the beltway of Washington, for example,
right,
they get caught up in it. It's a trap, and it's very hard for people to keep any kind of principles at all. You know, we're off on a political discussion here, but I'm just fed up with all of it, and all I know is this. God is sovereign. He is in control. The Timothy Plan was established not to change the culture. I wish we could. If we could, I'd be on the front lines trying to do that. We're here for those people that care about these issues and want to align the way they invest their dollars that have been entrusted to them with their moral convictions. Because ultimately, it's always about the money.
Yeah. No, that's true. Your advice to a first-time investor?
Well, first, understand what in the world you're doing, how it all works, you know, all the mechanics that the typical financial planner will give you. But if that investor happens to be somebody with some Christian principles or moral values, it really is important to align the way you invest your dollars with what you claim to believe. Otherwise, who are you kidding, especially yourself? Until Timothy, nobody was addressing these issues, so there really wasn't any choices out there. But when we drew the line in the sand, it took us a number of years before people would even begin to understand it really is important to align the way you invest the money with what you believe. In other words, a good example is if you're pro-life, and if you claim to be a Christian, you are pro-life.
Right.
How much money's okay to have invested in abortion?
Yeah, that's
good. You know?
Yeah, that's
just... people have just never thought like that before because all of our training has come from the world's perspective on money. The church has absolutely dropped the ball in educating the people that attend the pews on Sunday morning with the biblical principles.
What more could the media do, Arthur?
Well, the media... hold on just a second. I'm getting a beep here. I may be running out. This is on a portable phone. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's switch phones.
Sure, no problem. If you're just tuning in, Arthur Alley is here, and we're talking about the Timothy Foundation. My name's Dana Pretzer, and you're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. So I know that's a very open-ended question. What more can the media do?
What the media could do is get back to reporting the way the media did at one time in this nation and get off the agenda that they seem to be on. If the media would begin reporting truth, and truth needs no defense, if they would just report the facts and truth without the slant, then maybe the pendulum would start coming back to sanity in this nation. But it very well could be we're too far gone.
Well, and
well may be that it's over for America because once the morals collapse, no nation in the history of the world has ever survived. But whether it's over for America or not, each one of us have an individual responsibility to do everything we can to align ourselves with doing the right thing.
And when we see the youth of today, morality, I think, is in their back pocket because they want to go out, live hard, live fast, and follow that money trail. And that's a tough thing to do. Now, I asked you your advice to a first-time investor. What's your advice to a parent who's raising their children and may want to leave them something that they can invest?
Well, actually, Dana, I authored a biblical stewardship seminar series to try to plug the big black hole in church teaching, because the Bible says more about stewardship and money than any other single subject, but it's never taught in church. And there's a whole module on estate planning, and people are following the wrong rules today in their estate plans. Because once you come to grips with whose money it really is, then you've got a responsibility that is so different from the path we've all been on. And parents follow the wrong rules. The rules are you accumulate assets, you retire, you live as wealthy as you can, and you die and leave it all to your kids.
Yeah, and that's common sense, but why does that get thrown out the window?
Well, that is a very unbiblical principle. What's going on today is money is being left to kids who don't need it.
Yeah.
It's destroying the children because money is a destructive tool. And, you know, it's eliminating any incentive of them to get out there and work hard and earn and, you know, establish some values. These parents, out of quote-unquote love for their children, I believe it's real, are actually performing acts of child abuse by just blindly leaving huge amounts of money to kids that are very ill-equipped to handle it.
They don't know what to do with it. What's next for the foundation, Arthur?
the foundation.
Yeah. What's next? You were talking about Ford. You're getting into the press. What are your plans?
Well, you know, we are not an activist organization. Never have been. That Ford decision was just so incredible, I couldn't be quiet. We did release another press release on Viacom because they went so far over the edge. And I don't name names. This is just an unusual thing for me.
Sure.
But when that Silverman woman was on Comedy Central and had sex with God.
Yes.
And then rebuffed his advances toward her.
Yeah, that's sickening.
That went so far over the edge of blasphemy.
Yep.
That it's just a sign of where we are today. There is no fear of God today in this nation.
There will be,
because we can't stay here. We will all draw a final breath at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And that's when we will know there really is truth. And there really is a God, and he really is serious about all this nonsense that's going on today.
Where can the folks find out more about the Timothy Foundation?
Well, we have a website, timothyplan.com. Phone number, 1-800-TIM-PLAN, or 1-800-846-7526. And we offer a free service to people that if they're interested, because everybody owns mutual funds as a rule, but most people don't even understand what they are.
Right.
But we have a program that can tell people, what if we know the name of the mutual fund, we can tell you exactly how much money that fund has invested in companies that fail these basic moral screens. It's a free service, no obligation. Just email us, call us, give us the name of the fund, and we'll send you a free report on that.
Arthur Alley, thanks for joining us tonight.
Dana, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Take care. Bye-bye.
God bless.
You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. We'll be right back.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something your kiss just told me, my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something my heart keeps saying, my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your heart. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was over you, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you.
If I had it in my power,
I would arrange for every girl to have your charm.
still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down, and then you'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Baptist corn squeezing.
Shh, white lightning.
Well, the teaming, teaming, revenue is too. Searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
Ooh, what a lightning.
Well, I asked my old pappy why he called his brew white lightning instead of Mountain Dew. I took a little sip and right away and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started flashing.
White lightning.
Well, the G-men, T-men, revenueers too. Searching for a place where he made his proof. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Moaning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, your pappy's corn squeezing.
Whew, white lightning.
The G-men, T-men, revenueers too. Searching for a place where he made his proof. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Sometimes following conversation is real. It took place on Tuesday, June 8th of 2004 between a Blonde Star advisor and a subscriber.
Blonde Star emergency, this is Steve. Is there an emergency in your vehicle?
Oh my God. I've locked myself in my car and the keys are on the outside.
Ma'am.
Oh my God.
Ma'am, I need you to calm down.
Okay, it's just that the windows are rolled up and I'm
okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. In my continued effort to try and bring cases where parents have had their children abducted and taken to Japan, we've done several of these stories now. I bring you Yamila Castanello. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm speaking to her from Chile, I believe, and her Japanese husband kidnapped their 2-year-old daughter from Cuba to Japan in January 2003. Her husband has committed all sorts of fraud, including remarrying in Japan while he was still married to Yamila. And of course, the Japanese system has turned a blind eye to all of this. It's just another sad, tragic story. Yamila, welcome to my program.
Thank you.
Tell us about your story and how your daughter was taken to Japan.
Well, in my case, it's a very special case because I'm Cuban citizen and I have been living in Chile for 8 years. So in January of 2003, I went to the States, to Miami, and we had an agreement with my husband that Emily, my daughter, is going to be with my parents for at least 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
Havana.
Mm-hmm.
That when I was in Miami, he went to Havana and he spoke to the authorities in Cuba about some political issue, and it became a very confused situation, and he could take Emily from Havana to Japan.
To Japan. Yamila, are you still there? Hello? You know, I've tried to... I'm talking to Chile, and I think the phone system in Chile is a little bit chilly. This is a fascinating story. I'm going to take a break and try to get Yamila back on the air. We're having some phone line problems between here and Chile. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. I have Yamila back on the line with me here on the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. You were telling us about how your Japanese husband was able to get to Havana and take your daughter. Can you continue on with that story, please?
Yeah, what happened exactly was that in my situation as Cuban citizen, who was living out of the country for several years, my situation was very, very special situation in Cuba. even I didn't have any kind of problem in Cuba. I couldn't go back to Cuba anytime. In that time, I mean in 2003, it doesn't happen now, but in that time, I couldn't go back to Cuba anytime I wanted to go.
Why couldn't you go back to Cuba? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't you go back to Cuba?
It was a rule that the government had in that time that people living out of Cuba, like me,
okay,
we had to ask for a permission to go back to enter in Cuba.
I see.
And we had an agreement between my husband and me. I mean, Emily was in La Habana. My mom and my father were taking care of my daughter, and I was trying to find a place and work in the States because we were thinking to live separated.
Right.
But it wasn't clear at that moment. But he knew I couldn't go back to Cuba. We both knew that. But I really trust him about that situation. That's why I left Emily in Cuba with my parents. I saw that was a safe place for her.
Hello? Ah, jeez, I lost her again. have you ever had one of those nights? I'm having one of those nights tonight, and we can thank the phone company. Yamila, are you there? Yeah, I think the phone line between where I am in Canada and Chile is a big long string between two tin cans. I'm going to try this one more time, so I apologize for this. We'll take another quick break here on Scared Monkeys Radio and come back. I really want you to hear this story. It's fascinating. We'll be right back on the Dana Pretzer Show, on the Phone Line Doesn't Work Show.
Certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care. Though you keep on saying you really, really love me. Do you speak the same words to someone else when I'm not there? Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me? Every time you call me and tell me we should meet tomorrow, I can't help but think that you're meeting someone else tonight. Why should our romance just keep on causing me such sorrow? I'm so doubtful whenever you are out of sight.
All right, we're back, and I apologize. The phone line between where I am and where Yamila is. And you're in Chile, are you not?
Yeah, I'm in Santiago.
In Santiago, Chile, and it's just not working for whatever reason. Now, when your husband kidnapped your daughter, abducted your daughter, and took her to Japan, he even got remarried in Japan while he was still married to you. Is that correct?
Yes. First, he took Emily from La Habana to Japan, and I couldn't go immediately to Japan because I was a Cuban citizen, and I was needing an authorization from my husband to fly to enter Japan. So I had to wait until 6 months. In that time, the embassy and the consulate of Chile in Japan, in Tokyo, mm-hmm. they know everything about our case. And they saw koseki. It means documents that say it was in January 2003. They saw that we are still married. The consul, he was trying to meet Emily to give me some kind of some news or information about my daughter.
Yamila, you know, this is really embarrassing. So this happens, you know, gotta love live radio. Anyway, that's it. We're going to call it a night. I'll try and get Yamila back on again sometime soon when the phone lines are a little bit more cooperative. But the bottom line is her husband did kidnap their daughter, abduct their daughter, take her to Japan from Cuba. Yamila today is still looking for her daughter all these years later. This was in 2003, and it's another case where the Japanese government has turned a blind eye to fraud to this individual, remarrying while he was still married. And it's a, you know, the Children's Rights Council has so many cases like this, and we'll try and cover them the best we can. I apologize for the broken phone connection. We'll try and get that repaired. I somehow think that the phone service in Santiago, Chile is a little bit behind the times, but that just might be me. Remember, our webpage is located at www.scaredmonkeys.com. That's www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to the show live. You can listen to podcasts of past shows, daily commentaries, leave comments, whatever. Don't forget the creme de la creme of blogs, scaredmonkeys.com, has information about just about everything. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon with another new live show. And remember, our daily commentaries are heard, well, every day. And if you miss them, you can download them later just like you can with past shows. If you're listening on satellite, W3957 or Trust Cable, Channel 46, or wherever else you can pick us up, we certainly appreciate you. My name is Dana Pretzer. Special thanks to my guests this evening, Art Wood, Arthur Alley, and Yamila Castanello. And thanks to the Chilean phone system that really sucks. I'm Dana Pretzer. Thanks for listening. Good night.
It's Friday night and I'd slopped the hog, so I went to the house and I fed the dog, and I went inside to relax and watch TV. I was flipping through the channels hoping to catch an old Western movie or a wrestling match, but all I could get was news on NBC. So I picked up the paper and I seen this ad, and it went on and on how the latest fad could satisfy my ever dreaming wish. It had a toll-free number that a man could call, 2-week trial at no charge at all. I could watch TV on my very own satellite dish. Well, a truck pulled up the very next morning. Looked like it had a flying saucer on it. From the sign on the door, I could see it was Satellite Joe. He pulled out a compass, looked north and south, and he run a bunch of cables up into the house. By the end of the day, she was wired and ready to go. Well, I was mighty proud of my newfound toy, so I got on the phone, called Virgil and Roy, and said, come on over here and bring some tater chips. Yeah, sweetie just left to go play cards, and I got me a satellite dish in the yard. We got all night to watch these movie clips. The first button I hit said Galaxy One. I could tell this is going to be a lot of fun. There were 24 channels on that one satellite alone. There was Showtime, Cinemax, and HBO. I saw a cartoon movie and a rodeo. We couldn't get over what all was going on. Satellite, satellite, watch it all day and I watch it all night. If it's a football game, a movie, or the fights, I can get the world on my satellite. Across the sky, and I locked her down on West Star 5, and there sat the man with the